came and took her. And took her to the palace. And you know the story because you just saw it. She became the queen. And God had a plan and purpose for Esther's life. And she played an important role. But I think the key to this story is Mordecai. And I'm going to give you four reasons real quickly why I think Mordecai was the hero of the story. Number one, I think it was because of his example. Many of you probably do not know the story of it, but Mordecai became the adopted father of Esther. You see, Esther's parents and Mordecai's parents were related. They came over in probably 597. They probably came over in the first captivity where they were brought to Babylon. So Esther and Mordecai were born in captivity. They were not part of the original Jerusalem. They were not part of the temple. I don't think Mordecai ever saw a feast. He never saw a Passover in the temple. He never saw the true worship of God in Jerusalem. And when they came to Babylon, the temple was destroyed. And so what Mordecai is basing this upon is his love for Scripture, his love for the Jewish nation. But I see the example that he set. So at that point, Esther's parents died. He has no parents. We don't even know if he had a wife, but he adopted Esther. He's 15 years older than Esther. He adopts her as his daughter. But why I say he's the hero of the story? Because of the example. Think about it for a minute. Esther's a beautiful, beautiful young lady. Gifted, talented enough that the people chose her to go before King Ahasuerus, as they would only pick the most beautiful and the most treasured girls in all the land. I mean, she had it all. She was a 10. She was the perfect package. Her parents were dead. Yet she submitted to Mordecai, her cousin, as her father. That's quite amazing. I could just hear her saying, "You're not my dad." Did you hear her say that? "You're not my dad." When Mordecai would discipline her. But I think Mordecai was a godly example for her because I see it when Esther went before the king and she said, "And if I perish, I perish." He went before the king to plead for the Jewish people because I believe because of the testimony, because of the example that Mordecai sent to her, not as her true father, but as her adopted father, he taught her the principles about the Jewish life. He taught her principles that were Christian principles in her life that made her the woman that she became. Again, she lost her parents. She had no place to go, and so she was adopted by her cousin, and he raised her. That's the first reason I believe that Mordecai was the hero of the story. Because of his example, because of his godly tenor that he put instilled into Esther, who really didn't have a lot of reason to listen to Mordecai. That was not her father. But yet I think his testimony was so godly before Esther. It dwelt in her and she became a godly young lady. So number one, the first reason I think Mordecai's the hero of the story is because of his example. But number two, I think he's a hero of the story because of his commitment to God. He would not bow to Haman. Now you could read commentaries and I read a lot more commentaries than you do. I promise you on this. Some of the commentaries get down on Mordecai a little bit. That he didn't proclaim he was a Jew. He told Esther to keep it quiet as she went into the kingdom that she was a Jew. But he had plan and he had purpose in his life. But I tell you what, no matter what any you've heard or the commentaries you heard, let me tell you something. He had a commitment to God. Because when the king announced that everybody was to treat Haman with great respect and they were to bow before him just as they would bow to the king because he is second in command, and when he walked by the king's gate, that was where the people who were serving the king at that time were lined up. It wasn't all the people, but these had a position somehow serving the king or the kingdom. When he walked through there, everybody was to bow, and everybody did bow except one. That was Mordecai. I believe the reason he couldn't bow because he was could not bow before any man because he was a true Jew, and a Jew could only bow before God. I believe that was his principle. I don't think it was because he had hatred toward Haman. And he could have had, I'll tell you the history of those two in a moment. But he didn't bow because he couldn't bow because of his love for God. And you say, how do you say that? Well, I know he didn't have a problem with authority. I know he didn't have a problem with Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus is the one to point Haman. You say, how do you know that? Because when the two guards were conspiring, what were they conspiring to do? Kill Ahasuerus. Now, if he's not committed to Ahasuerus and the Persian way of life, if he's not committed to that, what would he say? Well, good, the king's going to get what he deserves. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And the king will get exactly what he deserved. He didn't do this because he was going to get a great reward, because did he get any reward for what he did? Absolutely not. But it came back. And he went to Esther and said, Esther, two guards have conspired to kill Ahasuerus. And they checked it out and found out it was true, and those two guards were killed. And it was written in the chronicles that Mordecai had revealed this conspiracy against the king, and the conspiracy was averted. See, he didn't have a hatred for Persian authority. He didn't have hatred for politics. But he had a love for his God. He was committed to his God. And he said, I cannot bow. I cannot bow. So why did Haman get so bothered? I mean, if there were 1,000 people at the king's gate and 999 of them bowed, but just one didn't, why did that bother him so much? Well, he found out. You know how he found out? His people went to Mordecai and said, why aren't you bowing? The king's commandment right there would have been on the wall. The king's commandment's right there. That everybody's to bow. And he said, I can't. I can't bow because I'm a Jew. And a Jew can only bow to God. Boy, it got back to Haman. Haman can't bow before you because he's a Jew. And he went ballistic on that. The Bible is even clear why he went ballistic, because he was an Agite. You say, what does that matter? Well, the Agites came from King Agag, who was the king of the Amalekites. And if you know the history, and some of you do, but when Israel left Egypt and was traveling in the wilderness, the Amalekites came up and attacked them from behind and killed some of the, and what they would do is Israel would go forth, and the ones who were had lame or had any problems, the older people would go behind, and they attacked from the rear, which was it was unspeakable in that day. They attacked them from the rear. And they took out some of the older people and some of the defenseless people. And the Amalekites were the one that wouldn't let him travel through a certain land to get water, and they had to go around the opposite way. And so God put a curse on the Amalekites. When was that curse carried out? With Saul, the first king of Israel. God told Saul to go in and destroy the Amalekites completely, all of them, annihilate them because of my curse upon them because of what they did to Israel. It just wasn't he picked eeny, meeny, miny, mo, the Amalekites. It was because of what they had done to Israel that was so very wrong. And so Saul went in and he didn't obey God completely, did he? He destroyed the Amalekites. He kept some sheep and he kept Agag. When Samuel confronted him, he lost his kingdom. You know the story. He picked up Saul's sword, took his sword, and he slew Agag in pieces. It shows Saul the seriousness of what he had done by disobeying God. But now the Amalekites are destroyed, and Agag is destroyed. But not all his descendants were destroyed. And Haman is a descendant of Agag. That's why he's called an Agite. And that's why he had a hatred for the Jews, for they are the ones who destroyed the Amalekites, Agag. And so it all plays together. That's why he was so enraged that a Jew would not bow before him. But he saw this as an opportunity, folks. He saw this as an opportunity. You know what the opportunity was? To destroy the Jewish nation. He said, I'm just not going to destroy Mordecai, which that would have been the logical thing to do. If his hatred was for him because he wouldn't bow, but he saw a greater opportunity and he used it to do what? Destroy the entire Jewish nation. Now, we know this. I hope you know this. That this was Satan using Haman to accomplish his purpose. Because why would Satan want to destroy the whole Jewish nation? Because if the Jewish nation is destroyed, then what can't come? The Messiah. This was simply a plan of Satan. Can I stop here for a minute? I don't want to be political. But we got some politicians making some decisions out there, but this is part of Satan's plan, folks. They're just carrying out what Satan wants. Now, I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. But what's happening in the world today, this is straight from the pit of hell. This is straight from Satan trying to gain control of the world. Now, he will gain control of the world. When's that? The tribulation. That's why we believe that Jesus is coming back. It's imminent, but it could be soon. Because he's preparing the world for his leadership. And he's just got some people just to carry out his plan. That's where Haman was. He put into Haman's mind that not just kill Mordecai, but let's just destroy all the Jewish nation to get back at them for what they did to the Agites, what they did to the Amalekites. What a plan. And that was his plan. You know, somebody said this. What if Mordecai hadn't bowed? It didn't matter. This was Satan's plan. If it wasn't Mordecai, it would have been somebody else. And so I think Mordecai's the hero of the story. Not just because he was a godly example to Esther in an unbearable situation where he wasn't even her father. He raised and set a godly example before not in Israel, not in Jerusalem, but in Babylon, and then Persia. She had enough in her heart of hearts to know she was a Jew, and she wanted to honor her God. So I think he's the hero of the story, number one, because of example. But number two, I think he's the hero of the story because of his commitment to God. But number three, I think it's his faith in God. You see, he sees what's happening here. But he knows. That's what I love about Mordecai. He knows that God is not going to allow the Jewish nation to be destroyed, because if the Jewish nation is destroyed, what happens? He cannot send the Messiah. And he had enough faith that the Messiah was going to come way back then in that day. You don't see it, because the amazing part of the book of Esther, guess who's never mentioned in the book of Esther? God isn't. That's amazing to me. You see the hand of God. You see God working in Esther. You see God working in Mordecai. And God does some amazing things, but his name is never mentioned there. I don't know why that is. But Mordecai had enough faith in God that he knew God wasn't going to let this happen. He knew this couldn't happen. That's why in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he says this. Let me read it for you real quickly. He said before Esther, and if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, and she asked him to fast and pray. But when he went to Esther, he said three things. These are the three things he told Esther. He said, Esther, you being queen, it doesn't guarantee your safety, because you're still a what? You're still a Jew. If this is Satan's plan to destroy all the Jewish nation, you're not going to be spared just because you're queen. There's no guarantee, because she didn't want to go before the king. Why couldn't she go before the king? Because if she went to the king without him asking her to come, and he does not hold out the golden scepter, what happens to her? She's killed immediately. Say, but the king wouldn't do that to his queen. Oh, don't you count on it. They were power people, power hungry. If he was in a bad mood or any kind of mood, he would not hold out the scepter. And Esther knew that, but she said, finally she said, if I perish, well, I perish. Why did she say that? Because number one, Mordecai said, Esther, there's no guarantee you're even going to survive this. Just because you're the queen, it's going to be found out you're a Jew. And when they find out you're a Jew, you don't think there's some people who are still want Vashti maybe back as queen, who are a little bit upset with you that you took over her position? They find out you're a Jew, they'll have all permission to have you killed because you're a Jew. So he turned to her and said, Esther, I know you don't want to do this. And I know you say you can't go before the king without him inviting you here. But you know what? Number one, there's no guarantee you being a Jew, you're going to even live through this. But then he said a second thing. He said, you not doing anything is not going to prevent deliverance because God is going to deliver us. And if he delivers them, it's going to come from another source. Why don't you be that source? If God's going to deliver, God isn't going to allow the Jewish nation to be destroyed at this point because the Messiah is coming. And if God's going to use somebody to deliver it, why not you? You know, I thought about that, folks. God's going to have his will in the way today. Why not you? Why not let God use you? Why not me? Maybe it's me who needs to make a difference in the town of Fremont. Maybe it's me that makes the difference. Why not me, folks? That's what he said. He said, God's going to do it. God's going to deliver because this is not God's plan. He's not going to allow the nation because he's going to send the Messiah, and the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to become our deliverer. That's how much faith he had. And he said, So if you being a Jew, there's no guarantee you're going to be alive. But number two, he said, God is going to accomplish his plan. And Esther, if he doesn't use you, he's going to use somebody else. Why not you? Then he said a third thing. He said, you being in the palace, that's not because of your ability. If you think you got into the palace and you're queen because of your good looks, your good personality, your talent, if you think that's what's put you into the kingdom, you're so wrong. Because you didn't get there by yourself. You know why you're there? God put you there for such a time as this. Many people in our church have heard me say this phrase in our church. Because God has so amazingly supplied Faith Baptist Church with people just at the right time. And I thought, how are we ever going to go on? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do our program? How are we going to function? God has always given us the right people at the right time for such a time as this. See, that's what Mordecai, the message was good. Number one, there's no guarantee you're going to be alive. Number two, if God's going to use somebody to carry out his plan, why not you? And if you think it's because of you that you're successful or have a nice home or you have good children, it's not. Folks, it's because of God's blessing and God's work in their lives, in your life. God has put you in a certain place for maybe such a time as this. It got to Esther. She said, I'll go before the king. And I love it. She said, if I perish, guess what? I perish. Now, I appreciate that in Esther. But why did she have that attitude? Because of Mordecai. Why did she, was she willing to put her neck on the line for the Jewish nation? Because I think she knew that Mordecai believed that, Israel could not be destroyed. God was not going to allow it to be destroyed. God had a different plan because the Messiah hadn't come yet. And it, honestly, folks, it doesn't say it in the book of Esther, but it was all about the Messiah. He got it. See, I see he's the hero in the story. Number one, because of his great example. But number two, because of his commitment to God, he wouldn't bow. But number three, because of his faith in God, knowing that God was going to deliver the Israelites. God was going to deliver the Jews. He wasn't going to let this happen because he had a plan. He had a plan. Then the fourth thing, reason why, and I don't have time to go into the end of the story. And you know what? We just go over the end of the story. And some of you probably don't even know the end of the story because it's so neat with Mordecai and the gallows. And they talked about hanging, and I just believe a little bit differently. I think the gallows was a pole, like a telephone pole that went up 50 to 70 feet up in the air, and it was sharpened at the top. And they didn't do hanging in Persia. They did impaling. They built a scaffolding to go up there, and they impaled. I believe they ended up impaling Haman right up. They put him up on that pole and just put him right down the pole and killed him, and he was there for everybody to see. They didn't hang people. They impaled people in that day. Persia did. That's what he'd built for Mordecai. But do you see the hand of God? That's why I believe he's the hero of the story, because God is working through Mordecai and in Mordecai. Listen, and my time is gone, but listen to this. You think it was by accident the king couldn't sleep the night before Mordecai was coming in to ask for the head or the body of Mordecai to put him on that pole? You think that was by accident the king couldn't sleep? Maybe he has what my mom has. She can't sleep any night of the week. But I don't think so. I think he slept like a baby. But this night he couldn't sleep at all. You think that was by accident? And for them to read the Chronicles to put him to sleep, they must be really, really boring. And to go to that section of the Chronicle where Mordecai had delivered and reported the conspiracies against him, what are the chances all that happens the very night That morning, Mordecai is coming in to ask for the, or excuse me, Haman's coming in to ask for the head of Mordecai. What are the chances of that happening? I'm telling you, very, 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 very slim. That's the hand of God. Daniel, the little actor in there, that was a pretty good portrayal. But can you imagine him, could you hear those words of the king? What would you do to the person who I want to honor? Well, obviously, that's got to be me. Put him on the nicest horses and give him the nicest robe and a crown and take him through the city announcing that this is the one, the king, that wants to honor. Can you imagine his response when he says, do that to Mordecai? That's the working. That's why I believe Mordecai was the hero of the story, because God was working in and through him, preparing him. Boy, I wish, I don't have time, my time is gone. I wish he could go to the end of the story a little more. The wisdom that he had. King Ahasuerus gave him all his responsibility, all of Haman's responsibility. He gave him his home and gave that to Esther. Everything that belonged to Haman went to Esther and Mordecai. His position, he put him second in command. And when it came out in chapter 10, the very last chapter in the book of Esther, Mordecai ran everything. Is Mordecai a Persian? No, he's a Jew. Now, he couldn't change the Persian law. He couldn't take away the edict to go and kill. But what he could change was the law and said, now the Jews can arm themselves and defend themselves. But you know what I love about this? They said for the Persians, when you go in and destroy the Jews, the incentive, you get everything that's theirs. And Jews are rich people, folks, because of God's blessing. And when you destroy the Jew, you get their houses, you get their land, and you get all their possessions. That's pretty good motivation to go in and destroy when you have the king's permission to do it. But now the second edict come out that the Jews could defend themselves. When you find it all said and done, 75,000 Persians were killed, and guess how many Jews were killed? As far as my count is, it's zero. But you know what I love about the Jews? When they killed the Persians, they took not a dime from them. They were just thankful for God's deliverance. You know where they got that from? That came from Mordecai. Let me just finish this. Esther chapter 10. It's only got three verses. Let me read it for you. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. Things were going so well. And all the acts of his power and his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are not written in the book of are they not written in the book of the Chronicles and the kings of Media and Persia? I mean, he made it into the Chronicles of the Medes and the Persians. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and he was great amongst the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. From this point forth, the Jews in Persia were blessed of God in an amazing way because of, guess who? Mordecai. So you know what? If you see the other side of the story, Esther was wonderful. She went before the king in her beauty, in her grace. But you know who the real hero of the story is? It's Mordecai. Because of his example, because of his commitment to God, because of his faith in God, and that God worked in and through him, not to destroy the Jewish nation, but through him, God blessed the Jewish nation like they'd never been blessed before because of his leadership and God's working. There's some great principles in this story. They're just not for Mordecai, and Haman, and Esther, and Ahasuerus. But the principles are still true for you and I today. And I go back to that one point. God's going to do a work today, folks. If you think God's not on the throne, you're wrong. God wants to do a work today. Can I tell you this? If not you, it's going to be somebody. So why not you? Maybe you've lost sight of the fact that everything you have and you are and what you become is because God has blessed you. Maybe with wonderful children, maybe with a wonderful job, maybe a wonderful home, maybe a wonderful family. But you know what all that comes? That comes from God, folks. And maybe he's given it to you for such a time as this to make a difference for eternity. Wow, there's some great truths. I think Esther's a hero. But I think the real hero of the story is Mordecai and how God used him to accomplish his purpose. Would you let God use you? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. My time is way gone.